97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
You know, one of the things that pisses me off about the return of Jimmy Kimmel, that was what opened the show, in case you haven't heard, they're bringing it back tomorrow night, is I guarantee he'll have the biggest ratings he's had, like, maybe ever, because everyone's going to want to know what he's going to say. Will he, you know, double down at all? Will he make it worse, or will he... I told you, the only thing I know that will happen 100% is he'll cry. Jimmy will weep openly on the set tomorrow night, so we got that at least to look forward to. We have with us this afternoon, back on the show, J. Peter Zane, editor at Real Clear Investigations. He writes for Real Clear Politics. Peter, how are you? Welcome back.
I'm doing well. That's pretty funny. He probably will cry.
No, he'll definitely cry. I want to talk to you about that and some of the things related to what happened with Charlie Kirk, but we're waiting on a news conference right now that we may have to cut out of even this interview on autism, and RFK Jr. is involved, perhaps some links to acetaminophen that they're going to report on. But you were telling Fred that you guys were way ahead of this even years ago, reporting on it at Real Clear Investigations.
In fact, in 2018, Dr. William Parker, who had been at Duke at the time, wrote a piece for us about his research, which had linked acetaminophen and autism. And, you know, we do journalism, so we were presenting what he had found. I'm not a medical expert, but it was very intriguing, and we have that piece up right now. And it turns out that Parker, who wrote that piece for us years ago, has been in contact with Kennedy and is one of the people who is behind this announcement today.
Yeah, very interesting.
I think that his yes.
So, as I mentioned,
go to Real Clear Investigations and you can read the piece.
Yeah, I'd like to check that out, especially in the aftermath of what we hear here this afternoon. All right, so the breaking news is that Jimmy Kimmel is coming back. You wrote about, you know, where we are in this culture right now. It's really been a fascinating couple of weeks for me. I've admitted several times I underestimated the impact that Charlie Kirk had on younger conservatives in particular. But then what's the country going to do here? We know that last week got really hot because of Jimmy Kimmel. When you wrote about this, you said, look, the evidence following Kirk's murder suggests we're more likely to embrace conflict and not, you know, simmer down and turn the temperature down. And I feel like that's where we're heading. We always talk about turning the temperature down and embracing, you know, civil discourse. But Peter, that never right. seems to happen.
No, I mean, I think the you've had me on, thank you very much, several times in the last month or so. And my columns have basically been wrestling with this question of what is the role of principle? And if we embrace principle, are we engaging politically in a form of unilateral disarmament? Because the left has no conscience about mistruths, misinformation, disinformation. They are the exemplars of cancel culture. Now that the shoe is on the other foot, they all of a sudden are pretending that they're for free speech when we know they aren't. They are pretending that they're for, good information. When we saw with Jimmy Kimmel, I mean, what he said was just a flat out propagandistic lie.
Which he's known for. He's got a pattern for that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we on the other side, if we can say that we are, do we live up to our higher principles and say, you know what, I'm not going to cancel you. I'm not going to try to clamp down on free speech, which is different from calling out Jimmy Kimmel for telling a lie is different from he should be fired and shut up.
Yeah, well, and I think where we stumbled on that particular point, and this is, and I think, I'm guessing you and I might agree on this because we're talking mm-hmm. about being principled, but I cannot stand, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of people out there on my side except for Ted Cruz, cannot stand the Brendan Carr FCC aspect of this. I hate it. It plays into the left's narrative about being authoritarian. So I wish that part had never happened, and I wish there were more conservatives criticizing that aspect of the story. I'm pretty sure that Charlie Kirk would have not been comfortable with that.
100%. But let's also just take a step back and remember that the people who have tried to put the Jimmy Kimmel suspension at the feet of Brendan Carr, which they have.
Well, there's more to the story. There's no doubt. Yes. And that organically, yeah. I wish that's why I wish even more that he was out of it, because organically, the affiliates were not happy. There was pressure being put on ABC before that even happened.
So, but what does CNN tell you? They tell you, and the New York Times, this is the sole reason that action was taken against Jimmy Kimmel. But by the way, we don't know the motive of the guy who shot Charlie Kirk.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, when you were faced with this, you know, head-exploding nonsense from these people, you know, it is very hard to be your best self. But again, you know, if we were to just listen to the better angels of our nature, that will in no way prevent the Democrats from doing exactly what they had done if and when they gain power again. So while I'm, for instance, very glad that the Republicans have not gotten rid of the filibuster and tried to pack the court and whatever, I have no doubt that when the Democrats take the White House again,
they'll do it.
They're going to try to do this.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, are you then a sucker for, you know, being a principled person? I mean, I think that is really what's a very difficult, you know, idea to wrestle with.
It is. And, you know, this goes on to what just happened in Missouri a couple of weeks ago, because and you and I may have discussed this, but along with Texas and California, and this is one of those stories that's gone away, way into the distance, and we were talking about it a lot 2 weeks ago, is that we have just drawn some new maps here in Missouri. Legislature went in special session. Governor got a call from the president. You know, they're trying to pick up one additional seat. Now, in their infinite wisdom, the Republicans seemingly have screwed this up, and they've put one precinct in two different districts over in Kansas City. So someone's going to have to fix something. The court's not going to go for that. But, you know, along those lines, this is where I even struggle on that particular instance, because I know, you know, I can look over the river and I can see the gerrymandering in Illinois. I know that they're going to try to make Puerto Rico a state and District of Columbia a state. They're going to try to make 13 members of the Supreme Court. So, to your point, you don't want to be that sucker, right?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, one thing just on those issues is I think that they should try to pass a law that says we will not get rid of the filibuster and we won't pack. I don't know what else to do to put some protection in so that it's just not a procedural vote, so that they don't add Washington, D.C. as a state in a 51 vote, you know,
right.
bill,
yeah.
reconciliation bill, which they can do. But that's, you know, somebody posted a Kevin Williamson piece from the Bulwark today that was going after a bunch of Republicans for whatever. And I said, the thing this guy's missing is Trump is tit for tat. He is responding. Everything wrong that he's doing in some people's eyes is merely a reflection of what they did to him. And I don't applaud it, but he didn't start this. And I don't know why people should expect someone to just stand back when someone's going to do it to them again.
No, and that's a good
point. Even though it's not right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, by the way, you lost me at the Bulwark. Good Lord.
I know.
I mean, that's one of my mentors over there that started all that nonsense, and Charlie Sykes, who used to be a talk show host in Milwaukee. But yeah. Man, those guys, those are the never Trumpers over there, the hardcore never Trumpers.
And one of the things that I was trying to point out in my column, because I tried to trace how did we get to this position. And a lot of the, you know, basically with the fall of communism in the early 1990s, all of these Marxists at these universities had their ideology discredited. So what they set out to do, according to this fantastic book, Cynical Theories, is problematize every other ideology. So they spent all of their time finding the speck in their brother's eye. And you can, if you look at the nuclear family, you look at capitalism, you look at any human institution, it's flawed. But what they've done is religion. So they've so undermined people's belief in anything. That's what, you know, the 1619 Project. Oh, we're a slaveocracy. You know, they have spent the last 30 years convincing us that everything that our society has rested on is garbage. And one of the things that that's done is it's not only polluted our children who go to universities, sent the left way off the rails, but the right has been affected by that as well. Because the basic idea, there is no truth, there's only result. Politics is about power, and whatever you need to do to achieve power is okay, because you're making up everything as you go along. You know, it is a very dangerous idea, which I think has been embraced by way too many people. And I think that's what allows the hypocrisy on the right, for instance, to embrace cancel culture.
Yeah, yeah.
When the right has always been about, not the right, but, you know, conservatives, yeah. Free speech. I mean, that's...
Things get flipped on their heads quite a bit. That book, by the way, Cynical Theories, that you mentioned, is that a newer book or is that older?
That's from a couple of years ago, okay. By James Lindsay and Helen Pluckrose. And again, it's one of these things, like just how you were talking about how gerrymandering was all we were talking about a month ago. I mean, that book was so hot several years ago for about a month. And then it just you know.
That's what happens. That's what happens,
it's like,
unfortunately.
It's like the baseball season. We hear all about
Well,
it.
And you know, I said this too, and this is kind of sad, but let's face it, 2 weeks ago today and tomorrow, all right, Monday and Tuesday, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Irina Zarudzka almost nonstop, wondering why,
right.
You know, and then when this happened in Utah, we haven't heard her name at all. And it's just
right.
Kind of the nature of the news cycle, unfortunately. Hey, Peter, great to have you on this Monday. I appreciate it.
Thank you
All
so
right,
much.
Take care.
Always a pleasure.
We have not had the, again, they're a half hour late. This is not unusual for a news conference to be announced for a certain time and for there to be a delay. We're going to take some of that, though, on autism when it does occur here this afternoon. We have Congressman Bob Onder.
Get more at 971talk.com.